If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Turning in your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We've been sharing the last 6-7 weeks or so on seeking God, calling upon God, calling out to Him in prayer. And today's message goes along with that theme from the book of James. Excuse me. James chapter 5. Amen. Look at verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of His Word. I want to minister to you this morning on the subject, the power of prayer. The power of prayer. James shares with us some very important principles about going to God in prayer. As people of God, we should be people of prayer. And I see heads nodding, I hear the amen, and thank you for that. I love it when you agree with me. Who doesn't? But more important than the amens and the nodding of the heads is the actual praying. I've said this before, we human beings have an amazing capacity to agree with something in principle, to say it ought to be done, and then to proceed to never do it. Or to not do it with much regularity. Come on. Amen. And prayer is a great example of that. And believe me, before I preach the whole life, prayer is a basic of our spiritual life. So what are some aspects here of a believer's prayer life? Number one is the challenge to prayer. How many know having a consistent prayer life, an effective prayer life, can be a challenge? Thank you for the underwhelming response. Apparently the rest of you is not a challenge for, and you should be up here preaching. No, I'm kidding. Prayer can be a challenge. Now, James is speaking primarily here about prayer and healing of the sick and those who have a spiritual need. However, he also gives us some insight into our own daily verses is to pray. He shares some context, some times we should pray. When should we pray? We should pray, first of all, during times of trouble. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray, James says in verse 13. How many have ever experienced trouble? It's part of life. What is our first response in times of trouble? Could be to try and figure it out, try and come up with a plan, maybe wring our hands, pull out our hair if some of us are inclined to do that. Maybe fret and worry and struggle. James says, if we're in trouble, we should pray. God's ear is attuned to our prayers, church. God sees when his people are in trouble. God sees when we have a dilemma, when we have a problem, when we have a situation out of which we can't extricate ourselves. God sees and God knows and God listens to the prayers of his people in times of trouble. Some of you here today, and we all have quote-unquote troubles. Sometimes when we refer to troubles, that almost kind of trivializes it, like we have little itty-bitty problems. Well, we have those. But sometimes we're really in trouble. Sometimes we have insurmountable problems or obstacles in front of us. Amen? We should pray. We should pray. We should call upon God in those times of trouble. What else should we pray? He says in verse 13, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Praise can be called prayer set to music. He should call out to God and praise. We should praise God and pray to God when we're happy. See, for some of us, this is not our usual practice. You know, there's a saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. Which means it's human nature, when we're in trouble, when we, if we pray at all, when we have a need, when we have a problem, when we have a burden, when we have an obstacle, to call out to God in prayer. But when we're happy, when things are going well, sometimes without verbalizing it or maybe even consciously expressing it, we're living in such a way as to say, God, everything's good. I'll get in touch if I need you. You know, when somebody asks if you need help, you say, no, but I'll get in touch if I need you. Well, that may be okay to say to one another. That's not a good attitude before God. God, the next time I have a problem, man, I'm going to make a beeline to your door. But for right now, I'm good. Now, we would never say that. But do we pray? Do we sing praises? Do we call out to God when times are good? Do we make that contact when times are good, when things are going well? God said in the Old Testament, as Israel was being led through the wilderness, he said, I'm going to lead you into a land of milk and honey. In other words, a land that's just going to supply everything that you need. And I'm going to provide you with all the blessings that you have need of. And he said, remember when I do that, remember where the blessings came from. Remember to give me praise. Seek him. Connect with him when you're happy. And then we should pray when we're sick. Verse 14, is any one of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Now, I've heard people say, well, there are medicinal qualities in the oil. There's something about the oil. Can I tell you, the oil we have here, 100% pure olive oil. Buy it at any store. Bertolli. I guess Italians make good olive oil. Full body and mild, whatever that means. Imported from Italy. Okay, this is good stuff. But it's not any special holy oil. Oil in Scripture is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And so when we anoint with oil, we are saying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, touch. Holy Spirit, act. The anointing with oil is a sign of obedience and of faith. And it says the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. You know what that means? That means prayer works.
Amen.
That means God heals.
Amen.
That means God does the miraculous. That means that God responds to our faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, why doesn't God heal every time? I can't answer you that. That's above my pay grade. But I'll tell you this, God does heal. God does respond. When we obediently take him at his word, and when you're sick, you need to pray that God would touch you. Call the elders of the church, the scripture says. Call someone. Pray for yourself. You know we can pray for ourselves to be healed? God hears and answers prayer. Pray when you're sick. And then fourthly, pray with repentance. It says in verse 15, if he, meaning the person who is sick, has sinned, he will be forgiven. One of the greatest truths of God's word is the fact that God forgives. God forgives. Some of you may be here today. You may be burdens of your sin. You may be feeling the burdens of you're falling short, and the enemy of our souls, how many know he always comes near to remind us of our failings? But the scripture says if we confess our sins, John said in his epistle, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. If you have sin weighing down on you today, Bible has a very simple solution. Repent. Ask God to forgive you, and he will forgive you of your sin. We tend to run away from God sometimes when we know there's something between him and us. The scripture says we need to run to him. He will forgive you. He will forgive you no matter what you've done, no matter what is weighing you down, he will forgive you. We need to pray during trouble, when happy, when we're sick, when we need to repent, we need to pray. Prayer makes a difference. Many have taken to ridiculing the sending of thoughts and prayers to victims of tragedy. After the shootings at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, a few years ago, remember that? Star Trek actor Will Wheaton tweeted, "The murdered victims were in a church. If prayers did anything, they'd still be alive." Another one said, "I'm getting sick of praying. I want to do something." Does prayer constitute taking meaningful action, or does invoking thoughts and prayers merely offer the appearance of doing something? I believe that the voice of the church must be strong and must echo the words of a South African church leader who said, "Prayer is doing something. You are petitioning the highest ruler in the universe." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayer is doing something. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In case you haven't noticed, in case you haven't browsed the news in the last few weeks, our country seems to be fracturing and falling apart at the seams and polarizing. There is more tension, political and otherwise, than in recent history. Social media plays a part. Just a quick perusal of social media will tell you how polarized people are, including people in the church. A woman named Mindy Bells, who writes in World Magazine, has an interesting suggestion for Christians who are on social media. She says, I believe we should pause to pray before we boast. What a novel idea. She adds, praying for enemies has a dividend. It tends to cast out fear. Over and over in the book of Acts, we see the early church praying boldly, suffering mightily, thanking its persecutors for scattering its people, and doing it all over again. It may look, she said, as if the church is being pushed around, but in reality, it's how the church moves the world. Let me tell you, you and I have the lever, the ability to move the world, because when we pray, we move the hand of the creator of the universe. Hallelujah. Yay! We need to pray. We need to pray. We know it. You don't need me to tell you that we need to pray, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We need to pray corporately. We need to pray individually. I am calling as your pastor, I am calling on all of us, myself included, to up our prayer game.
Hallelujah.
You know, when teams, sports teams, football team, when a team is, you know, on paper supposed to win games and they lose them or they don't win them as closely as they think they should, the coaches, the head coach and the assistant coach, they challenge the players. They say, guys, we have the ability, but we need to up our game. We need to step it up. Church, when it comes to our prayer lives, we need to step it up. You can get quiet on me if you want.
Praise the Lord!
But allow the Lord to take this word and have it come to life within your spirit today. We need to step up to the challenge to pray. Second thing we see here is the character of prayer. The character of prayer. And the first part of this is the type of prayers to pray. It says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Some translations say the fervent prayer. With the word translated fervent literally means to stretch, thus to pray with intensity, to pray with passion. I know I've talked about this in a previous sermon, but I'm going to talk about it again. We need to pray passionately if we want to move the hand of God. How many know that God knows whether we need business with him or not? God knows if we're praying casually or passionately. If you pray casual prayers, you'll get casual responses. If you pray like you can take it or leave it, you're probably going to have to leave it. But if you pray like we mean business with God, if you pray passionately, if you pray like your life depends on it, let me tell you, God hears those prayers. God knows when we mean business with him. Speaking at a church in Florida about his book, Prayer, Doesn't Make Any Difference, author Philip Yancey said, God does not want pretty prayers. How many know that's true? God's not impressed with our flowery language. Instead, he wants people, Yancey continues, to pour their hearts out and talk to him like they would talk to a close friend. He said that while researching his book, he read many other books on prayer. He says many of them were preachy and made ordinary people feel inadequate. He said he wanted to write a book that didn't make people feel inferior. He said prayer is not meant to eliminate suffering nor impress God. In the Bible, he found examples of prayers that change God's decisions and others that change the person praying. He said the most important thing he learned writing on prayer is that prayer is not a chore like calisthenics. He said, I used to think if I did it long enough and right enough that God would approve. He said, I came to see prayer as more of a spiritual privilege. Prayer is an essential part of doing God's work in the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to pray passionately if we want God to answer prayer. Those are the types of prayers to pray. Who is the type of person who prays? He says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What does it mean to be righteous? Righteousness is a legal term. It means to be in right standing. It means to be committed to the will of God. It doesn't mean we're perfect. If that were the standard, we'd all be left out, wouldn't we? But it means that we are committed to God's word. We are committed to God's ways. We have ordered our life according to the priorities of Scripture. We seek to do the will of God in every area of our lives. He says the right prayer of a righteous person is effective. We need to get our behavior in line with the will of God. You know what I've found? When I'm walking close to God, and I have my failures just like you do, but when I'm walking close to God, when I'm obeying Him in each and every turn, and when I'm seeking to follow after Him with my whole heart, my prayers seem to more be in line with God's will and God's word. You know? Sometimes our prayers are like scattershot, and they're ineffective because our lives are not being lived in accordance with God's word and God's values. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, you will not hear me at all. God hears the prayers of the righteous. God hears the prayers of those who do their best to follow after Him and His ways. If we are determined to be effective in prayer, we must get our lives in line with God and His will for our lives. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Cleanse me and wash me whiter than snow. We need to be, to live our lives in such a way that we are lined up with God's will, God's word, and then our prayers will be effective. Thirdly, what is the type of power in prayer? I've referred to it already. James says that the prayer of a righteous man is effective. Literally, this word translated means to put forth much more than was expected. When we pray in faith, it unlocks the great potential of God to work in our world. God honors the praying of His people because His people praying honors Him. Effective prayer. It's like a door is unlocked. How many have a variety of passwords for a bunch of your websites online, right? How many use some of the same passwords for multiple sites? You should never do that. I do it too. They're hard to remember. Have you ever gone to a site that asks for a password? And you have, you know, 3, 4, 5, or 6 that you, and they're all, probably most of them variations of the same one, different letter here, or, you know, character here, there. And you can't remember it, and you go through the litany of them. You go through all 5 or 6 of them, and sometimes you don't remember at all. You got to hit forget the password. But sometimes you go through 5 or 6, and that last one, and it unlocks. Eureka, I found it. And you make a mental note to remember that for the next time, and you never ever will. Right? Am I the only one? You're with me, okay. But you find the password, then that unlocks it. That opens it up. The faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous person is like a password that opens up the windows of heaven. That will move the hand of Almighty God, the creator of the universe. Church, we either believe that or we don't today. Hallelujah. I believe that prayer still moves the hand of God. Prayer that's effective. Church, we want to pray effective prayers. What do you mean by effective? Prayer that works. Prayer that brings about results. How many have had answers to your prayers? Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about effective prayer. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. John Newton had received from the Lord some unbelievable answers to his prayers. So he often engaged in what he called large asking. In support of his practice, he would tell the story of a man who asked Alexander the Great to give him a huge sum of money in exchange for his daughter's hand in marriage. The ruler consented and told him to request of his treasurer whatever amount he wanted. So he went and he asked for an enormous amount of money, a huge amount. The treasurer was so startled that before he answered the request, he went back to Alexander and he said to Alexander the Great, you know, this guy asked for this amount of money, and even a fraction of this amount would be, be more than fair. Alexander said, no. Let him have it all that he asked for. I like this guy. He does me an honor. He treats me like a king and proves what he asks, that he believes me to be both rich and generous. Newton concluded his story by saying, in the same way, we should go to the throne of God's grace and present petitions that express honorable views of the love, riches, and bounty of our King. In other words, we should ask large for large things. We should pray big, bold prayers. We should believe God for great things. Hallelujah. There's power today. Hallelujah. That's the kind of prayers we need to pray, church. We need to pray like we're praying to a big God. The size of our prayers, the size of our asking, gives a clue to the size we think our God is. If we only ask for small things, then we must serve a small God. If we ask for big things, that shows that we serve a big God. I don't know about you, my God's a big God. My God is awesome. My God is immense. My God is everywhere, at every time, at every moment. Hallelujah. My God owns everything. Let's pray large prayers. Amen. Let's pray powerful prayers as righteous people of God. What's the third thing we learn here about the power of prayer? It's the confidence in prayer. The confidence in prayer. First of all, there's confidence in prayer for the common man. Verse 17 says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain. The earth produced its crops. Confidence in prayer, first of all, comes for the common man. Prayer is not the exclusive privilege of super Christians. Sometimes we hear testimonies of people who share their prayers before God and how God did just a mighty miracle and did something awesome. And we think, oh, wow, man, that's awesome. That's so great. Boy, I wish God would do things like that for me. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you ever had that feeling? Man, God did a miracle for that person. Man, I wish God would do things like that. Hey, you know what? He will. Scripture says God's no respecter of persons. God doesn't love one believer more than he loves another. God doesn't say, okay, this group over here, we'll move their request to the front of the line. This group over here, they can wait a while. God doesn't do that. Come on, church. Elijah was a man just like us. Wait a minute, James. What are you saying? Elijah was a prophet. He was a great man of God. God did extraordinary things through him. Yeah, but you know what? He was a human being. He was a man. He was a human being just like us. He had his failings, his shortcomings. He had his doubts. He had his worries. He had his shortcomings. He was a common man. He was a man. I'm so glad James put this in here. Elijah was a great man of God, but he was a man just like us. We can have confidence in prayer. We don't have to have some super status. We don't have to have done some great spiritual work. We don't have to have known the Lord any certain minimum amount of time or have served in some great ministry or have been recognized by man as being some sort of above average believer. We, as long as we name the name of Jesus Christ, as long as we're a blood-bought child of the living God, we can go to God in prayer and expect to have results. God hears your prayers, whoever you are. Some of you may be here today, you may say, I pray. God doesn't hear my prayers. God hears every prayer. Confidence in prayer for the common man. And secondly, with uncommon results. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. You can look at the Old Testament scriptures and see the background story on that. I know we got pretty sophisticated with our technology and when we want it to rain, they seed the clouds, however that works. And I don't know if it does work, but the truth of the matter is we don't control nature. We do our best. We don't control nature. God controls nature. But Elijah prayed, and the clouds were shut up for 3.5 years, and then he prayed again at God's direction. The scripture says the clouds opened, the heavens opened, and the rains came down. Let me tell you, that's supernatural. Let me tell you, that doesn't happen every day. A common man can have confidence in prayer that God can bring about supernatural, extraordinary, that God can heal that terminal disease, that God can miraculously that financial need, that God can take that situation that is hopeless, that marriage that is falling apart, God can put it back together as a result of your prayers. Hallelujah. And we can have confidence in prayer. Listen, there is very little in this earthly life. There are very few people, there are very few situations in which we can have confidence. You know that. You've been let down. You've been misled. You've been shortchanged. But when we go to God in prayer, we're never shortchanged. When we go to God in prayer, we can have confidence. Church, when we up our game, as I talked about, when we become mighty in prayer, we will discover that there comes, through the process of praying and touching God's throne and having him answer prayer, there will develop, I believe, more and more over time, a confidence that when we go to him, he will hear us and he will answer our prayers. Every great man of God and woman of God in scripture who we see did extraordinary things is because they knew God. They had a confidence that God would hear them when they prayed. And God, he heard and answered. We can have confidence in prayer. Josh McDowell was a great Bible teacher, great Christian apologist. When he was attending seminary in California, his father went home to be with the Lord and got him to thinking about his mother. She had died several years earlier. But he wasn't sure if she had become a Christian. And he became depressed, thinking that maybe she'd never come to faith in Christ. She apparently didn't talk about it a lot. The thought obsessed him, and he prayed, Lord, somehow give me the answer so I can get back to normal. I just got to know if my mom had received you as Savior. It seemed like an impossible request to him. 2 days later, he had some time off. He drove out to the ocean, and he walked to the end of the pier just to be alone. There, sitting at the end of the pier, was an old woman in a lawn chair, and she was fishing. And she said to him, "Where is your home originally? Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Michigan, a place called Union City." He said, "Nobody's really ever heard of it. I tell people it's a suburb of," and she interrupted him. She said, "Battle Creek." She said, "I had a cousin from there. Did you happen to know the McDowell family?" He was stunned. He said, "Yes, I'm Josh McDowell." He said, She said, "I can't believe it. I'm a cousin to your mother." He said, "Do you remember anything at all about her spiritual life?" She said, "Sure I do. Your mom and I were just teenage girls when a tent revival came to town. It was the fourth night. We both went forward to accept Christ." Josh McDowell said, "Praise the Lord. I've gotten the assurance that I prayed for." Let me tell you, church, when you pray for things that seem impossible, you're going to the right place. Hallelujah. Because our God is a God who makes the impossible possible. Our God is a God who does what can't be done. Hallelujah. And we can have confidence when we go to Him that He will hear and that He will respond to our prayers. Bring this message to a close. Some of you may have prayed. You may have come here today. You hear about confidence in prayer. You hear about God answering prayer. You're sitting here and you're saying, "Pastor Tim, I hear you. I know what the Word of God says. But man, I have a hard time believing. I have a hard time taking it at face value. And it doesn't seem like that's been my experience for the most part. God hearing and answering. All I can tell you is this: God's word and the testimony of millions upon millions of God's people throughout the ages testify to the truth that no matter what this secular world thinks of it, no matter how they mock, no matter how they trivialize it, that there is an almighty God in heaven who hears the prayers of His righteous people, and He responds and He does miracles on their behalf. I'm telling you today, church, don't give up praying. Don't give up calling upon the name of the Lord. Don't give up asking for the impossibility, because your Heavenly Father hears you and He will answer your prayer. Calling upon us today to accept the challenge to pray, to step up our game, to say, I'm gonna be more intentional. I'm not gonna pray when I find time, I'm gonna make time. I'm not gonna pray if it's convenient, I'm gonna pray because I'm desperate. I'm gonna pray because I need to. I'm gonna pray because God hears me. I'm not assuming that we don't pray. I know there's some prayer warriors out there. Believe me, I depend on it. Don't stop. But I say to all of us, it's always appropriate. It's always in order to say we need to up our prayer game. We need to pray. We need to step it up. The Word of God. I was going to say, I'm issuing you a challenge. My challenge doesn't mean much. The Word of God issues a challenge to us today. A challenge to pray like never before. It's patently obvious to even the most casual observer that we as believers, we as individuals, we as the church, we in this nation, we in this world need prayer like never before. We need to pray. We need to pray. The challenge to prayer. The character of prayer. That the righteous, when they pray, the prayers are effective. They move the hand of God. That we can be confident in prayer. but the common man can pray with uncommon results. Because our God is a God who answers prayer.